is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 804-737-803-776. Biscuit's been waiting, so let's get to him right away here. What do you say, Biscuit?
Hey, top of the morning to you, fellas.
How's it going, Biscuit?
Hey, Lance and John, man, y'all better be careful, man. You're going to get your lieutenant governor is going to come over here and start boycotting Stacey. I keep on talking about all this stuff, man.
I know. Boy, they are. Yeah. I'm glad that they're looking
Thank
out
God
for
they're
me.
Saving
Thank
us.
God they're looking out for me and no one else's business interests.
Yeah, hey, man, look, this is the thing, guys. If you go to the Rockets game early, you know, because I go to a few Rockets games every year, and, you know, I try to get there early just to see, you know, what the players are doing, how they're working out. If you go to the game early, you'll see Capella out there working on post moves. Him and John Lucas are out there every game I've been to. Working on post move, working on free throws.
I really.
But when did you ever see that actually applied in a basketball game?
But you got to give him an opportunity. You have to give him an opportunity, John.
Well, he does now. That's in this offense. That's
the problem. This is what I'm saying to you. Throughout the year, everybody always talked about when they switch the guard, Chris Paul or Harden has a big man on them. Well, the opposite is also true. Capella has a smaller guy on him. The coach and the team, they need to, and this can't happen just in one series. This got to happen throughout the year so he gets used to getting touches in the paint. They have to tell the big, hey, man, run down and stand in front of the rim. Hey, if you get 3 seconds, that's on us. Just stand there. We're going to get you the ball. Just stand there. And you get it to him enough, because right now when he gets it, he's anxious. He's moving too quick, and he's fumbling the ball. He's anxious. And I don't know how you do, you know, change, you know, because these guys have been doing it all year. Because Golden State is taking the lob away because they're pushing them out further. So the passes that Harden is throwing on the lob are much further. So the rotation is able to get there. You have to get the big guy. Just stand in the paint. Yeah. We're going to throw it to you.
Well, I
just stand there and go up strong.
I will give you this.
Last point. The Rockets bench must outscore the Warriors bench by at least 15 points. And that means House has to come into play. He has to start hitting some shots. Otherwise, his starters, Rockets are not going to beat him as point playing.
You know Mike D'Antoni only plays seven people total. Yeah. Stop acting like the Rockets bench can win.
No.
You know that doesn't happen. Biscuit,
this
Mike D'Antoni thing and everyone criticizing him about his bench usage in the playoffs and how he shrinks it, I used to think it was overdone. But it's after last year, after this year, it's clearly not.
It's not overdone.
It's not overdone.
And by the way, and I want to see, you know, this. It happens all season long. You got a plan. You win. You were one of the best teams in the NBA in the second half of the season. So you know what you do when you get to the postseason? Change it.
Change everything. Yeah.
Change it. And I'll give you this, Biscuit. You know those opportunities because he looked pitiful in the low post. The one opportunity that he had in game two, Capella did. You're probably right. I say this all the time. Like Daniel House, I know I'm only going to get one shot. I better take it. If I don't make it, because I'm going to get pulled. And when you're playing scared like that, when you're playing with a leash, you're not going to play well. Probably the same thing goes on with Capella. I know I'm only going to get one low post look. I better make this count. And boy, I put so much pressure on myself to make that happen that it doesn't happen. And you fumble it out of bounds. So I'll give you that. I don't know that Clint Capella's ever going to. He's always been so thin. He's just not a low post player. You know why James is so good in the low post defensively? Because of how thick he is.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, though. When has Capella had a chance? And seriously, when has he had a chance to develop his game?
No, he hasn't.
You're not going to in
You're
this
not going
offense.
To do this. No.
Even you can work as much as you want. How often in practice are you posting up?
Well,
Capella?
No, but he says he works with John Lucas works with.
And no,
works
that's
with,
fine.
But he doesn't get any opportunities in the game, right. And that's what I said. When he did get his opportunity, he's so nervous trying to make it work that he fumbles it.
I honestly feel like Clint Capella. I felt this way, and I still feel this way that he could develop. I think he has decent touch around the basket. I think he could develop into a low post player in a different generation of basketball.
You think
decade?
A lot
not
of,
now.
A lot of low post though is being able to overpower your opponent. I don't think he ever can do that.
I don't think he's. You know, Clint Capella has gained 35 pounds of muscle since he's been in Houston,
and he's still.
I think that he doesn't play with. I think it's less about how much he weighs, and I think it's more about how aggressive he is with his weight. He's not, he doesn't, he's not physical and aggressive. He doesn't really have that alpha mindset to attack you. But it's also just about getting into position and using footwork to get the angles. Mm-hmm. It's not, this isn't Shaq trying to just dip a shoulder and dunk on everybody. A lot of it is, you know, Dream would not physically just try to man, just maul people. He used footwork to get the angles and to get around the edge of people and to get the easy layups and to get the jump hooks. Well, Clint Capella, I don't know if he has a go-to move. I don't know if he has a jump hook. I don't know if he has this or that. You know why? Because in this offense, you're never going to see it. And I'm not complaining about this offense because that's what this offense does. It does really well. And Clint Capella does what they're asked to do.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if you had something you could go to when James is off the court. You know what we talked about in football just a while ago? Throwing something at teams that they weren't ready for and they couldn't handle.
He's got to have the right matchup, though, on the low post. He's got to have that.
Yeah, because he's just not skilled enough right now.
If, in fact, he does have a huge advantage and they put, like the Rockets put Eric Gordon on Joker, I mean, you know, sometimes that happens and you're like, what the hell? What this is, this doesn't seem like it's fair. But yeah, they switch and Eric Gordon's down on the low post. You're like, what? Anyway, if Capella has that kind of a matchup advantage, it sure would be nice if they tried to take advantage of it with everyone. But they never do. They're not. I don't know that they're going to change. And I don't know that Mike D'Antoni's ever going to change. Good Lord, man. Let your bench do something.
Well, at least test them out if you want to see. You've got guys who can get hot on your bench.
Yes.
We've seen it with Austin Rivers. We've seen it with Daniel House. We've seen it with Gerald Green. We've seen it with Kenneth Faried. There's a lot of guys on there who actually have the ability
There's not.
I take it back. There's not. You know, Kenneth Faried, thank God. You know who's, you know why? Did you hear who is running? Who's the new president of the Houston Rockets? Kim Ogg. And she's protecting us from Kenneth Faried. She said Kenneth Faried is dangerous in the postseason.
Better watch going after Kim Ogg because at some point you might have some charges against you. Kim Ogg is going to go, oh, really, Lance? Now let's see how you can protect yourself.
What is she, Scott Foster?
Whoa.
Kim Ogg was afraid Worm and Mike would get beat up again. She also thought Teddy KGB was eating too many Oreos. #Hashtag public safety, #Hashtag public health. It's from Uncle Drayton.
Uncle D. You made the list, buddy.
You just made
the list. I'm a big Kim Ogg fan.
This whole protecting us from poker rooms.
It's just ridiculous.
It's so funny.
Did you see, speaking of which, but nobody bets illegally on this, but the Kentucky Derby, the favorite, is withdrawn?
Yeah,
Omaha
I saw
Beach
that.
Out.
I saw that. And now Fred Fowler doesn't know what to do. Fowler's going to be excited.
I heard Fred yesterday said, I've never been this prepared for the Derby. Now what? Oh, now throw everything out. Now, Fred, you just create. Look how much work you created for Fred Fowler.
But that shouldn't be hard, right?
Everybody moves down one.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming.
Well, you know,
the pace of the race.
Well, I would imagine. I don't know where he at Omaha Beach, but the last six Derby favorites have won. So I would imagine that Omaha Beach would have had to been high on his list. I have no idea what his list is, but I will say if you're going to the Derby, chances are it's going to be the favorite. Now the favorite is Game Winner.
Well, no, Derby's not always the favorite.
The last six have won.
The last six favorites have?
I just said
that. It used to be favorites never won.
I just said that when you weren't listening.
Well, that's because I saw a John Granato tweet that got me excited. Brian Zygo said, Harris County DA's office saw that a John Granato of Chicago was a member of Prime and immediately figured something mob-related was going on behind the scenes.
That could be.
That's your people. Look at this. Chicago and Italians and their prejudice against Italians.
You see?
In this day and age.
Prejudice against the Italians.
Can
you believe it?
Unbelievable.
So, anyway, now I don't know how I'm going to... Yeah, I don't remember the last time I bet on the Kentucky Derby. Dell, you bet on it?
Never.
I went to Sam Houston, and I think me and Solis went. It was a few years ago.
I think I'm I'm really, really in the minute minority when I tell you it was the most boring sporting event I've ever attended.
Well, you have to wait forever, right?
You have to wait like 2 hours in between the last race and the Derby.
I think everyone just likes to go because they get to wear hats.
Yeah,
and pastel colors.
But you can't get like it's like all these private clubs inside of the Derby, and you can't get in.
It's like the Super Bowl.
Hey, but where can we go and get a beer?
It's like the Super Bowl. Like I'm here. Where are the parties? Yeah. Oh, you're not invited. Well, what else? Well, there's one. They're doing one. Pitbull has one. You got to pay $40 to get into
it. And I'm sure we did it wrong.
100,000 people.
I'm sure we did it wrong. A couple of my buddies are going back this year, and I'm sure they've got everything set up because it's a rich guy that's doing it. And I'm sure they've got everything set up really well. For me, it couldn't have been more boring. I mean, you're sitting in between the – oh, and then you wait 2 hours between the last race and the Derby, and it was 2 minutes and it's over. I mean, it's like Rick Pitino sex. Honestly, well, only longer.
It's in the right state, John.
I hear there's two Kentucky Derbies. There's the one that takes place in the stands and in the private stuff and where you can see Wes Welker running around. And,
yeah.
And then
where you can
one
watch Wes Welker from afar.
And then there's one in the infield where it is people having porta potty races where you run over the porta potties and then you throw, and there's people having fist fights and vomiting. And it's kind of like watching the gangs in New York where they would all just gather together.
And the Indy 500 is a lot like that, too.
I was
in the infield for the Indy, and it was a party. A party.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was awesome, except all the noise of these cars the whole time. Could you shut up with the cars?
No, that's kind of the deal.
Whatever. I'm trying to party over here. Can't even hear because these cars are so loud.
Well, it's kind of why you're there, John.
No, it wasn't why I was there. I can tell you that. 8:15 ESPN 97.5. So
call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Dell, do you want to play that Cardi B audio?
No, let's not play it.
Can't really do that.
Let's not play it.
Cardi B explains the anatomy. I don't think anybody has ever explained it better. It's on Barstool. Do you have that other one ready, Del? Can you get that other one ready?
Yeah, the
which one?
The long besmirching of Game of Thrones.
Well, it is besmirching. So there's guys.
Could you see the Long Night? Where you know the big thing is how it was filmed. It was so dark that people couldn't see what was going on. We had to stop and I had to change. I had to alter the TV screen brightness. My wife got so upset with it. That's a big deal now. A lot of people are upset about it.
But the cinematographer said, y'all don't even know how to make your TVs lighter, okay? Mm-hmm. Your TVs are set up wrong. You're a bunch of idiots out there, okay? Mm-hmm. And, okay. Oh, by the way, it was night, and that's how we're shooting.
Well, it was obviously this is what they're going for. Supposedly there's something to have to do with compression and 4K, and I'm just like, I mean, maybe
okay,
put
so
a little more light on.
I don't know who this guy is. He's from a foreign country, but you're going to enjoy him. He is in a talk show. There are people in the audience. He's sitting across the desk from another guy that just sits there and laughs the whole time. But this guy is giving his explanation of The Long Night. Now, I don't think – is he a writer? But
that's just some random video that Barstool put together. It's not about Game of Thrones. It's in a foreign language.
It's in a foreign language. They're watching it. But no,
I don't think so. I think it's just the guy having a conversation, and then Barstool added their own to make it funny.
Right. I guess so. Okay. So here's a guy. And I'm going to tell you, he's pretty dead on. So this is about The Long Night, the last episode that we see. Okay, hit it. He says, we were given six episodes. Okay, let's hurry the plot on and finish. Battle of Winterfell fans have been waiting for years. 55 days of shooting. The greatest battle on television. The Night King finally brings The Long Night. Old man told us about it all season. Thousands of theories were written about it. It lasted one night. One night. I love this guy's laugh. By the way, he's got one tooth. One night. The greatest threat to Westeros lasted one night. We told the fans it was going to rival Helm's Deep, by the way. That's Lord of the Rings. Thank you. The longest battle sequence in film history. Dothraki, Unsullied, Northmen, Knights of the Vale. The greatest army Westeros has seen fighting. No one could even see what the bleep was going on in the battle. Seven seasons of buildup led to this. John didn't even fight a bleeping walker, and they thought he was going to kill the Night King.
This guy literally can't even breathe. He's laughing so
Arya
hard.
Sneaked past thousands of whites and killed him. The Night King, doom of humanity, stabbed in the stomach.
It was a chest, by the way, but whatever. First of all,
this guy feels like he's owning me right now.
Have you seen the main video? Characters were going to die.
I know.
Right? Right?
Jorah died.
Okay, but for real, Theon and Jorah died.
Jorah
and Theon. Beric and Ed also died.
Oh, you mean two guys who've been there since Lance.
It made me tear up.
No one even knew his name was Beric. That's
everyone who died.
They called him Patchy. That was his nickname.
And he's right. They were literally surrounded by the whites.
Yeah.
Literally. They all survived.
My biggest takeaway from this is John actually believing this guy's talking about Game of Thrones. Look at what he's wearing.
Yeah.
He looks like he should be in Narcos.
Right. I love this guy.
Turn him off.
Slayer of White Walkers and killer, ran like a little biatch and still survived.
Well, it's true.
Sam has always been the guy to kill people, and you don't know how he did it.
The suspension of disbelief.
You have been suspending.
George R. Martin. See, we were right. He would have never let this happen.
What are you talking about? Sam killed a White Walker when George R. R. Martin was writing the book.
Mass slaughter. Then you got to film that differently. You got to film it differently where you don't have 150,000 White Walkers jumping on top of
Brienne.
A guy with one hand and Brienne, and somehow at the very end they're like, oh, we made
and
it.
And as was pointed out by some people, the White Walkers could be killed with the nick of dragonglass. They didn't have to be killed like a normal person.
Mm.
So all you had to do was touch them and they would fall to the ground.
Mm. As some people pointed out.
But wait, didn't they all rise back again?
And they had to fight him again.
All they had to do was one of the guys actually stab someone.
Well, who said they were trained fighters?
You mean the Dothraki that woke up?
Well, I didn't say the Dothraki, but they weren't all fighting the Dothraki.
Okay. No, John was surrounded by the Dothraki out there in the field, but nobody could get to him.
Not that it matters because they're all zombies. I don't remember who they actually were.
Well, you just admitted they went Hollywood.
Of course it's going to go Hollywood. They had the story to tell. You're not going to kill John in episode 3.
Kill off Brienne. You can't give a good reason. Yeah, because you were filmed.
If you can't give a good reason to kill them, then why should they die?
Because they were surrounded by...
Sansa wasn't surrounded. She was in the crypt.
Did you ever watch... What was it when Denzel ran up the... Glory. Did you ever watch Glory? A lot of good people died. A lot of the good guys died in that one.
Yeah, because Glory was a story about one battle, right?
Yeah, it's a battle that you couldn't win.
But there was multiple... There's another battle ahead, right? Let me ask you something. He said
Sansa... They don't focus
Sansa,
on...
You said Sansa should die. So you want to remove the whole conflict of the North actually wanting to go south? You want that to be completely removed? Because Game of Thrones has always been about politics. So you want that completely gone, the battle? Will the North go down with Dany to fight? You want that completely removed from the conversation?
No, Dany could have survived with her dragon.
I didn't say Dany. I said the North.
The North is already... Okay, when they're going to go down now to the south and fight Cersei, how many are left?
Well, we're going to find out
in
episode 4.
A ton is left.
Well, you
There's
saw
a
got,
ton is left.
Well, you saw, well,
there should be six.
Well, they set 80, it up.
80,000 warriors.
They get
no,
the
well, they set it up.
Remember
before the battle, even that some northern houses didn't join them for the fight. So I imagine they're going to have a conversation with them. Okay, you pusses, you don't want to fight this battle. Would you like to fight the next battle? Because they set it up. The Umbers didn't show up for the fight.
Let me ask you this: how much better would it have been if the Night King takes a knee right in front of Bran?
Why would he take a knee?
Because
John should have written
and
the last.
And Arya would
John
have had to
have
kill
the last season.
Arya would have had to kill Bran.
John should have written the last
why would,
season.
Why
How
would,
much
John
everybody's mind would have been blown?
Why would the Night King kneel in front of Bran?
Because Bran something. Is actually the leader of the dead.
Yeah. How? Why would he be? How is he the leader?
Doesn't
of the dead?
Doesn't matter how it happened.
Oh, so you don't? Oh, just Why? It would have to matter, right?
Everybody thought Brand was, you know, the whole thing, it's so difficult and so complex, and no, you just stabbed him.
Well,
and he was, and you know, you killed them all.
Well, because you allowed dopey people on the online to set up theories that had no basis in fact just because they thought this way? What you're said about?
No, it could have had some substance, though.
What substance?
Some substance, like that Brand actually was their leader.
Why would he be the leader?
Because he's got such unbelievable mind games.
The previous three-eyed Raven wasn't their leader. In fact, the Night King killed him.
How do you know he wasn't?
Why would the Night King kill him then if he was the leader? Why did he take a knee?
Because this Brand is the new leader. He had to kill him off.
The one he took over for wasn't the leader. In fact, the Night King killed that guy.
If they had done this, then you would have been saying, mind blown.
No, I would have said it's stupid because there's nothing that set up Brand being the leader.
Yes, it is. This whole thing is set up Brand.
What?
And now Brand's just going to sit there and watch Cersei die.
That's what the original Three-Eyed Raven did. He just sat there in a tree until Brand found him. He didn't do anything either.
How do you know he wasn't running everybody's mind?
Because he wasn't. Because we set
you
it up.
You have no imagination. No,
no, because the show told you he didn't do anything. The Children of the Forest was protecting that guy. He did nothing. He literally did nothing.
All I care about
it was
about
on
is
the show.
People lived that should have died. And it kind of pissed me off.
Except you can't give a reason why they should have died outside if you wanted
violence. Outside of the fact for me, it's suspension of disbelief. If you film it to where this mass humanity of dead people are on top of people, you should be dead.
You mean when the mass of dead people were killed allegedly and then risen from the ground? You suspended that disbelief, though.
Well, yeah, because that's part of the power he has. But when they're fighting, they are the weakest fighters of all time. I mean, they come in like a bunch of mad dogs, and then all of a sudden, three people can hold them off.
In every zombie movie, there are hordes of zombies, and people survive. You know what? You've been suspending disbelief forever with zombies.
I'm just telling you, you won't admit the fact that when George R. R. Martin was gangster.
Why do you keep saying that?
He was gangster.
You know how many people actually died during with George R. R. Martin writing? It was the Red Wedding, Joffrey, and Ned. Who else died?
There's going to be somewhere.
Who else?
There's
how many major characters
at the very end? Tell me, do you think there's any chance that we are going to have something that is an analogy that gets to today's society? There's going to be some kind of high-minded, high-handed message that is going to be at the very end. I guarantee you there's something.
Only if Cersei wins and we don't have poker rooms.
Yep. She came off.
Cersei's going to win and no more poker.
If it ends with no more poker or daily fantasy sports, then I will realize that this was a good show because they're protected.
Because they're, well.
And they're getting rid of organized crime.
Cersei is going to win, and we're not going to have poker.
Okay, well, if that's the case, she could not win,
and you already don't have poker.
No. The only reason we don't have poker is because Cersei's running this biznotch.
Are you calling Kim Ogg Cersei?
I'm not calling Kim Ogg anything.
Ooh. Sounds like you are.
Yikes, I'm out of this
Are you
one.
Sure that Kim Ogg is Cersei? Are you sure? Okay, so you don't know. See,
is she Cersei?
That's why.
What? Kim Ogg is an actual person who ruined your life. Cersei is a fake person who might ruin your TV life. No. They're different.
I don't mind if Cersei went. You know what? I'm rooting for Cersei now. I am. I'm actually rooting for Cersei because it was too dumb. Beating the Night King was just too dumb. Sorry. Too dumb.
What? How should he have lost?
I told you how he should have lost.
Why?
Because then Bran is dead too.
The only thing the Night King has ever wanted to do was wipe humanity off the face of the earth, and then at the end he just kneels to Bran. That's not stupid.
I don't have to watch his horrible acting anymore. Then it would have been perfect.
His entire personality is being a wooden figure. He doesn't have a personality.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? Get a personality. I'm sick of you. Okay? Beat it. You should have died. Arya should have stabbed you too. Hopefully some of the Night King, the glass hit him in the eyes and he can't see anymore. Okay?
This entire show's turned into just poker and Game of Thrones arguments.
Let's take a break.
Well,
if you've got
you
any,
two are very upset about one thing and letting it leak
so
into
what's
another
up with
thing.
The Astros?
All right. What's up with our Astros? Well, how about George Springer getting a hit with a little fine?
George Springer's over here like,
"Hey,
keep on talking about
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, guys."
It's at 8:32 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.836 ESPN 97.5. All right, so let's switch this up for a second. I'm going to give you CBS Sports's, and Dell, get in this because you love this. This is your favorite. CBS Sports top 25, early top 25 college football rankings. Clemson number one. I think that's going to be obvious. Do they win the national championship again? Will they finish number one? Is that probably the favorite, or is that even? What is? I wonder what Clemson is on the betting line right now. I don't even know if it's come out, the betting line for college football. Alabama's 2, Georgia 3, Oklahoma 4. I'm going to say Oklahoma is not going to finish that high. Oklahoma will not finish in the top 4.
There's zero chance in hell. They lost both guards, both tackles, quarterback.
Yeah.
Best wide receiver. I know they have Lamb coming back. I just don't see how they're – I don't see – they had a terrible defense last year. Their top tackler is gone, Curtis Bolton. And I have no idea how people – first of all, they're not beat. Texas is going to beat them in the Big 12 this year. Texas is getting a lot of guys back, including their top receiver, Colin Johnson. I don't see Oklahoma losing that much and coming back.
No. I'm saying they're going – I can see those three being up there again, especially with the quarterback play that they're going to have back. Oklahoma, no. Clemson LSU and Alabama, with Joe Burrows, I'm going to go higher than 5. Yep.
You think they'll survive Joe Burrows?
Yeah, I think Joe Burrows looked unbelievable in the spring game. You don't even know about him.
Sure. I mean, just looking at Oklahoma's schedule, there's not much on it, to be honest with
you. Well, it's Big 12.
Oh, really? University of Houston to start the season?
Yeah, good luck with that, Houston.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Last time they played, what happened, Doug?
Is Tom Herman coaching the Cougs?
Ooh, that is a slap.
Wow.
Does Dana beat Oklahoma at any point?
No, never.
Almost this year, but it was the most embarrassing defensive performance by two teams I've ever seen.
Well, not only that one.
Literally touchdowns every two plays.
What
back
about
and
when
forth.
Tavon Austin had 600 yards offense himself?
And they lost.
That's impossible.
That was
unbelievable. Yeah. But guess what? They beat him this year.
Nope.
That's right.
In Norman. Good luck with that.
Going up there, slapping that ass.
Good luck with that.
Ohio State is 6. I'm going, they're not finishing that high. They're not going to finish
that high. Oh, man, Ohio State? Well,
they lost Haskins.
They lost
two receivers.
Pridgen, Prince. They lost most of their offensive line.
Right?
They lost three receivers, McLaurin, Paris Campbell, and who else?
Was it Dixon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he didn't start, but he got in.
They lost Dwayne Haskins. I mean, they're going to
lost Bosa, Draymond Jones.
But they're Ohio State.
Dante Booker. Yeah,
so
I mean, they lost a lot.
They always,
Sheffield.
The quarterback is a question. I don't care about all the ancillary parts. Yeah. They always have guys. The question is Justin Fields ready to go?
What about Notre Dame?
Florida's 7.
Notre Dame's got to be up there.
Texas is 8.
Florida actually
higher or lower will Texas finish?
I think that's a pretty good number for them. 8? I think that's a pretty good number.
So they'll have 2 losses.
I think that sounds about right, yeah. I can't really tell you higher or lower. That feels about right for them. I'll be honest with you, I feel like Jimbo's got a shot at Texas A&M to put some stuff together, too.
Except he's got to go to Clemson to start the season.
Yeah, no, that's going to be really tough to win that. But
he's got Clemson, he's got Alabama, he's got LSU.
He's got a new line coach. Jim Turner left, so he's got a new line coach, too. He loses McCoy, he loses Sutherland. So
losing Jim Turner is not a positive.
No, it's not. And he's lost a couple of offensive linemen, but he's got a good running back. He's got some good wide receivers. He's got his quarterback who started to really take a step forward.
I think
forward.
He's going to be good this year.
Got a good defensive tackle. They lost Alaka. They lost Dodson.
They lost Mack.
They lost Kiki Kingsley. They lost Donovan Wilson. Yeah, they lost. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Notre Dame is going to be better than. Where was Notre Dame?
So,
7,
it goes Michigan. No. Michigan 9. Which they're
Shea
always
Patterson
overrated.
Back. I don't know. I think next year is going to be a good year for college football. You're starting to name all these teams, And in my mind, I'm going through some of the talent they have. Michigan's going to be Michigan's going to be a factor.
For whatever reason, they underperform.
Well, they were number four in the country until they wound up playing a team who's more athletically gifted than them in Ohio State.
Lost their worst loss in history.
Well, but that's because Ohio State kept running crossing patterns, and Michigan's like, you know what, we're going to stick in man because that's what we play. But your guys can't run.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We're going to play man.
Their safety,
other than that, though.
Yeah.
They have a safety, Tyree Cannell, who I was looking at him in the draft. He was one of the last 20 players I did, or maybe less. And he had a little heat, and you're watching the tape. Man, I like it. You get to Ohio State, he gave up three touchdowns on his own. It was like, ugh, undrafted.
No. Michigan, Ohio State recruits talent, at least skill position, like they're an SEC school. Michigan can't run with them. Until they figure out a way to go find guys who can run with Ohio State, they're going to get beat up.
Oregon is 10, Notre Dame 11.
I'm telling you, man, and they've all got quarterbacks. Shea Patterson.
Herbert.
Herbert there at Oregon. You got a third-year starter at Texas.
Book.
You've got who else?
Notre Dame. Book.
Yeah, the kid they're bringing back. And he can play.
Yeah.
Florida's got who's your guys coming back for Florida?
It's not my guys. Felipe Franks.
Felipe Franks. Who's okay.
And Michigan, they're going to look different this year. They hired a guy off the Alabama staff when they had all their changes. So they're going to be a more spread-based team. They're going to still run the football, but they're going to look more like, you know, the offenses of today as opposed to – I saw the spring game.
Spring.
They weren't under center at all in the spring game.
Okay, because they're getting used to it. And at some point, Harbaugh over a glass of milk and a nice medium well steak, Jim Harbaugh is going to say, you know what?
We ain't doing that.
Well, if it doesn't work, but they revamped it. Shea Patterson's a spread quarterback who they brought in from Ole Miss.
I know. Shea Patterson is better suited for spread.
They seem to be the type who are going to be like, look, we're going to – Ohio State runs power out of the spread. I think Michigan's going to want to do that, too.
Then it goes Utah, Wisconsin, Texas A&M, 14, Washington, Central Florida, the only non-Power 5 school in. Mackenzie Milton coming back, right? He was at least working out.
I don't think he's
going
to be ready to play.
Huh?
It don't look like he's ready to play. He didn't participate at all.
I think he's ahead of schedule. We'll see.
Well, that thing was brutal.
Yeah. Nebraska, Iowa State, Army. That's another non-power five. Penn State, Washington State, Auburn, Minnesota, Northwestern, Iowa.
Penn State's alleged heir apparent is in the transfer portal. So if that guy decides to leave, we'll have no experience at quarterback.
I feel like I'm watching some sci-fi. Every time I hear transfer, I just feel like they're in the middle of like somewhere in space, just like. I can't wait to get out of here, out of the transfer portal, and to state college I go.
After spring, Tommy Stevens is like, I'm out. So they're going to have no experience at quarterback if he doesn't remain at Penn State.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot Jalen Hurts is at Oklahoma.
Yeah, he's their quarterback.
So Jalen Hurts has got experience enough to bring, although we'll see if he can throw it around.
Well, the spring he looked good, and like, I watched a bit of the spring game, and the last time we saw him when he looked good throwing the football.
He should have gone to like Boston College or some pro style. So what about
or he wants to get picked number one like every other Oklahoma quarterback?
Yeah,
I don't know. Look,
I don't feel like that's happening.
Look, all we know of him the last time he got extended minutes, he looked like a different guy throwing a football. That was a one quarter of football.
You mean in the big game,
in the SEC title game?
Where he kind of saved their season.
Yeah,
he did save their season. Last one before we go to break. There's I'm trying to remember. There is I was thinking about quarterbacks. I don't know. We'll go to a break. I'll figure it out in a second. I want to tell you about Men's T Clinic. Well, this doesn't look good. I mean, one of the things that having your testosterone levels cognitive processing. So, you know, pay no attention to that. Me just forgetting what I wanted to talk about thing. But it really does make a big, big difference. And now, for those of you near Kirkendall and West Park, you have a chance to experience for yourself. Grand Parkway and Kirkendall, they are opening very soon a new Men's T Clinic near you. This is going to be store number 5, and that is coming right around the corner. I want to make you aware, because now the coverage with the five different locations they have. And you can find the location that's convenient for you at menstclinic.com. It gives you a better chance to live your best life. Living your best life is getting your testosterone level where it's supposed to be, because it does impact your body type, the way that you burn fat, your mental sharpness, your libido, your drive at work, and really just the feeling you get, your overall wellness when it comes to living your life and not being a couch potato. And I know when I say that, you have a hard time believing that you can get out of that zone that you're in right now, which is where you just can't get motivated to get on to the next phase of you know, getting in shape, whatever the case may be. This is your chance, I'm telling you guys. It happened for me, it can happen for you. Go to menstclinic.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I feel like, you know what? There's a pretty good, somebody, Christina has, she quote tweeted, somebody named Jamie said, RIP Jorah from, Game of Thrones, he died as he lived in the friend zone, which is incredibly funny and true. You think the Rockets are just in the friend zone with the NBA championship? You think, I just feel like we're never going to get out of the friend zone and get to ever with this iteration of the Rockets. Maybe even with Daryl as a GM. And not that it's his fault. I'm just saying this is how long this might stretch. Because look, if they don't get it this year, they're probably not. I said it last year, and I think they're in position this year. But I just can't see. Chris Paul wasn't as good this year as last year. Is that right?
Nope.
And he's a year older.
Yep.
So next year when he's a year older again, why should we expect him to be any better than this year? Can James play better than he did this year?
I don't want to have this talk anymore.
Well, but this is...
It's a business for grown-ups.
Yeah, this is not the time to have...
Does this have anything to do with poker?
This is not the
What's
time
the point of this?
To have the talk. Right. But I feel like the Rockets are in the friend zone with the NBA championship, and I don't think we're ever getting out. It just doesn't feel like it now. I love you like a brother. You're more like a really good friend.
Yeah.
Rockets.
I've always felt like Adam James. And again, he's not playing as well. We're in James Harden. What is it between heaven and hell?
Purgatory.
We're in James Harden purgatory.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, it's great. You know, we're dead, but you know, we're in a really good place. But it's not heaven.
Well,
heaven, well, and it's not hell.
It's friend zone.
It's yeah.
She didn't say she didn't like me.
No.
She didn't say she did not like me. So. Did she say she liked you?
So look,
no, but...
So you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance
no,
is where the
not
Rockets
really.
Are.
The NBA playoffs loves the Rockets being around because they're comforting. It appears that they might always be there for you. And there's a shot, maybe, if things go horribly wrong, that they could possibly win a title.
That's Danny and Jorah.
I know.
Right.
That is exactly what
That's what
is.
I'm saying. The Rockets are the NBA championship friend zone.
Right.
We like you around because you look good, and it's nice to have you by our side because we can always point to you and go, hey, maybe this is a team that can challenge the Warriors. It provides drama. And just like in a friend zone, hey, he's a great friend. He's always there for me. And I could see him at some point maybe being the guy for me when really everything would have to go terribly wrong before you pick him. That's who the Rockets are.
Yeah, but they're always there.
They're always there to stand up and say,
they're effective.
I'm there for you.
They're there at the final battle.
Well, not necessarily this time.
But they won't
sit
on
the
throne.
Not the final battle. No, the second to last battle.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's where they are, in the second to last battle.
Oh, well, that's right. That's right. They are this year.
Yeah, or the year before.
Oh, it's all feels
And the year before. And the year before. That's where they are. This is what... Only yeah, this is what Danny has to get through to get to Cersei, which is this year. Cersei's the Bucks, okay.
And The Bucks can be beaten.
Did you see Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner got married?
They did?
Yeah.
Sophie's been kind of, I saw that hopping.
Yeah.
Where she was drunk.
Yeah, she's always drunk, dude.
You need to get your girl, Del, because your girl is
my girl.
She's a little out of
control.
She's
Joe Jonas's girl now.
She's been doing some crazy.
No,
when she chugged, when she chugged her beer and then hit the and hit her little dab on everyone at the hockey game.
Yeah.
She's got a little edge.
I love her. She's always got a whine. I love this.
No, I know you like her.
This is my.
Yeah, I know you do.
She's become my favorite.
No, she's got more edge than at first when I used to make fun of her. Like, I hate her.
You mean when she was like 15?
She wasn't 15, Del.
You know, when the show started, she was like 13.
I'm not going to talk.
Yeah. What? Yeah. The show's been on for almost a decade, Lance.
She was 13?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Was she really?
Yeah, she's like 22 now. The show started, she was 13.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
She was 13?
They all grew up. Yeah, like, look at Arya. I mean,
yeah, but Arya
she was just a little kid.
She still seems like a little kid.
No, she's not. She's a woman. She's
22 now,
yeah.
I think. 21, 22.
She's almost the same age as...
Yeah, they're only a year behind. She's just... Sophie Turner's just tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sophie as a blonde looks good.
She's fine. Well, John, you think? Likes I her as a redhead.
Yeah. You like her more as a redhead? Yeah.
And by the way, Daenerys is much better as a blonde. Emilia Clarke is not good looking with brown hair.
Yeah, she's just fine. You're being too hateful. You're a blonde guy anyway.
Yeah, you're damn right I am.
It's your scouting report. Likes blondes. Likes alcohol. Likes blondes with alcohol.
There you go.
But what? But Sophie Turner, when she's
I know, but I like her with red hair and wine better.
And she's okay. I got you.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Maybe off Game of Thrones. Save people who don't watch it.
Who are these people that don't watch Game of Thrones? I don't want them. I don't want them in my life.
They're people. They get salty, too, when you talk about it.
Yeah, right. 713-780. We didn't talk about George Springer. George Springer got fined by Major League Baseball. A little homophobic slur at Angel Hernandez. Is that really a homophobic
slur? He got fined for calling him a bleeper.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't really say that to someone, right?
But he doesn't mean that as a slur. He means that as a hateful name.
Yeah, which is, I guess.
He didn't mean, you know what? I'm going to think of the worst homophobic slur I can because I'm going to slur you for being gay. You think that's what that was? No.
Well, I don't know.
Is Major League Baseball going to also fine people for when they're accused of incest? Because there's a lot of incest in you doing things with your mother. There's a lot of people saying that word too. When you're doing things to your mother, and they're saying, is that going to get fined?
Yeah, that's going to get fined. Actually, it will. Only it won't be homophobic. It'll be just you were ugly. Using ugly words.
You're accusing someone of incest.
Well, no, this is
what's
different,
the difference?
Though. I guess this is different because if, in fact, Angel Hernandez, he was accusing him of some homosexual act.
He wasn't. That's the whole point. Same way people are actually accusing you of having sex with your mother. It's just a word you say.
Yeah, how did he phrase it? Did he go, you're a
effing bleeper?
No, he just said just the F word and followed by those other words. Yeah, I don't believe it's homophobic either.
Yeah,
but
gay people get called as a slur?
Not really. I don't think that's a slur.
I don't know. When slurs are being thrown around at gay people, is that the one?
We got to wait for Raheel to get in on this one.
No, we don't.
What do you mean?
He's going to be fake Raheel where he says something.
Hey, how you doing, Tyrion? What's with the chair? What's going on? Why is your chair so low?
Are you repping your Champions League?
Yeah.
No, yesterday that's a Portugal jersey.
Yesterday was gay pride. Today, by the way, did you see Messi's goal?
Dude, no. It's so beautiful.
It was pretty.
Oh, yeah.
The free kick?
No. I saw one that was actually MLS. They showed the highlight where it barely snuck in. This guy had a little scissor kick.
No, this totally different.
Yeah, it's okay to watch MLS, Del.
Ew.
No, it's not. Why
no, I love
doing?
The MLS.
Ew,
by the
MLS.
Way, Dynamo this Saturday, FC Dallas. Ew. Get your tickets right now, HoustonDynamo.com.
MLS talk. Ew.
Oh. All right. 8:57, time to take a break.
Yuck.
Reveal.
Secret elitist over there.
Yuck, MLS.
Yeah. I ain't not the MLS.
Just joking.
All right, time to take a break right here on ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!